I want to start with a story. The story is between two friends that were sitting in a coffee shop in Colorado Springs. They were meeting there just to hang out and enjoy each other's company and conversation and coffee. Suddenly, they began to disagree. And the one friend said something devastating to the other. And through that devastation, they began to argue. People in the coffee shop were confused. They were wondering, what is going on? What are they talking about? And instead of taking a pause, they continued to argue. And the volume got louder and louder, to the point that they realized the hurt was already done and that they weren't going to come to an agreement. And they both left hurt. And they both didn't talk to each other for over a month. About a month later, the friend who gave this devastating word to the other came and said, "I realize that what I said was wrong, and I want to make it up to you. What can I do?" The other friend looked at her and said, "Well, there's two things I need you to do. I need you to complete the first task, and then after you're done that, I want you to come back, and I'll give you the second task." And the friend said, "Well, whatever it takes. I want our friendship to be back to the way it was." So she said, "Whatever I need to do." And the friend said, "Okay, I need you to take a down feather pillow. I need you to go to the top of Pike's Peak. And I need you to, when you get there, rip open the pillow and allow the feathers to fly all over the valley." And the friend said, "Whatever, I can do that. That's easy." So she grabbed her pillow. She went up to the top of Pike's Peak. She stood up there and she said, "I need to let this go." She ripped open the pillow and all the feathers flew out all over the valley. She came back down and she said to her friend, I did what you asked me to do." And the friend said, "That's awesome. Now what do I need to do?" She said, "Okay, now I need you to go and I need you to collect all the feathers that you just let go." And the friend said, "Well, I can't do that. That's impossible. They're long gone. They're already out there." And the friend said, "Just like it's impossible for you to collect all the feathers that you just let go, it's impossible for me to forget what you said to me." Oh, that story hurts. It's almost painful. And I believe that maybe you've been there too. I believe that either on one side of the scenario or the other, either maybe you've been the one who has said something devastating and you've spoke that out into existence and you can't take it back. I know that I've done that. There's things in my life that I've said that I wish that I could take back. But just like letting go of the feathers on the top of Pike's Peak, they're out there and you can't take them back. Or maybe you've been on the other side of that where you've received a devastating word and you've been hurt by that word. And you remember the pain of that. And you wish that it was never even spoken. Well, I have to tell you, over the last few months, these have been really desperate times in our nation, in our personal relationships, and just around. In fact, probably even longer than just COVID. Just even before that, we could see the temperature rising and rising. And I have to share with you that this is the basis of our new series, Healing Conversations. The illustration that I gave you earlier is a great illustration to help us to be reminded that our words have power. A friend of mine who is also a pastor and a mentor, Dave Roberts, wrote a book called Healing Conversations. And he wrote this book based on his experience of pastoral ministry. And he wrote it from the perspective of us trying to find the middle way. Now, the middle way is unique. It's different than what we're used to, especially in conversations. You see, the middle way, it's not based on winning or losing. It's not based on right or wrong or power or weakness. And it's not based on good versus evil. In fact, healing conversations, or what he would call the middle way, is about believing that there can be a common ground built on mutual understanding that even in our differences, everyone has something important to teach us. Now, this is exactly what Jesus taught about in Matthew 5:5, when he said, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. To find the middle way, it takes humility. Jesus, his disciples, and even later Paul would teach that real spiritual maturity is the ability to seek the middle ground. In fact, my friends, it starts with us. And it starts with the power and the realization of the power of our words. Now, I'm going to stop here, and this will be a great opportunity for you to turn to our talk sheet and to go to the section Started Out. Our talk sheet can actually be found on our website, trinitynazarene.org. It looks like this, and it has a great opportunity for you to walk through with a group and ask questions. So we're going to look at the Started Out portion of our talk sheet. Now, if you're enjoying this content and you want to continue with the sermon, just wait 5 seconds and we'll be right back. But if you're enjoying this as a group, or you're going to stop and pause for discussion, pause here, go to the talk sheet, and then go through the questions. And when you're ready, just press play and we'll join back in the conversation. I want you to turn with me to James chapter 3. So in James chapter 3, well, in the book of James, something critical is happening in the life of the church. In fact, James is the first pastor of the first church. I mean, you know, we have, you know, the first church of Kankakee, or, you know, Chicago, and we love our first church titles, but James gets to declare Jerusalem first church. He is the pastor of the first church, and he is actually the brother of Jesus. So he is writing about the guiding principles and the policies of this new fledgling church. And we are pretty certain that this is the first book written in the New Testament. So it might not be in the order of, you know, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the beginning of the New Testament as far as the writing order, but we know that through the age of James's letter, that it was probably the first book that was written for the New Testament. We're going to go to James chapter 3 and pick up at verse 2. He says, "Indeed, we all make mistakes." Let me say that again. We all make mistakes. Let's be clear on that. "For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire." Wow. Now, it's important to note that James is writing this before the advent of computers, because the problem that we experience is that social media takes these words and makes it even worse, because the tongue here, he's obviously referring to the part of our body, but it's more than just what the tongue does. I want you to think about this. It's more than just speech. Your words are communicated in more than just speaking it out loud. In fact, most communication happens non-verbally. And also now we have the advent of computers and social media, so our words are now articulated out through keyboards and keystrokes. I want you to consider this. The mystery of words is seen when you realize that they are simply the rearranging of 26 letters. Let that sink in. It's kind of like, thanks, Phoenicians. The rearranging of 26 letters holds the mystery of holiness and wisdom. I mean, all of poetry, all of history is literally confined to the rearranging of 26 simple letters. Now, I want you to realize that letters have no power in themselves. Try it sometime. Go up to somebody on the street and just say, L, 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 L. I know, I sound like a Sesame Street character. It doesn't work because the person would just kind of look at you funny, like, why are you saying L to me? Single letters is like a single plank of wood used to build the rudder of a ship. So if you put that single letter with additional planks of letters, then you would get the word liar. Now walk up to somebody on the street and say, liar, liar. They'd be offended really quick and wonder, why are you calling me a liar? You see, the rearranging of these letters is significant because it makes the words and forms the words that move us in our relationships. I love this quote from Pastor Dave. He says, every thought of human existence is shared and given life through words. Every human longing and emotion is addressed and healed or shattered by these letters thrown together and delivered, nicely wrapped or carelessly thrown. He continues, they are received as unexpected gifts or as shrapnel posing deadly danger. It all depends on how they are arranged and how they are delivered. What an incredible reminder. You see, words are cultural currency. They allow us to love, to learn. Words allow us to teach and also understand. But words can also reap devastation. They can be disastrous and painful, and they can even hurt. Now, I want you to hear me say this. Words never return void of significance, ever. Words are always significant. How they're said, why they're said, when they're said, they never return void of significance. Isaiah actually points to this when he's referring to God's words in Isaiah chapter 55. So take a look at this. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Now, we understand here that Isaiah is referencing God's word. But you have to know that the Bible understands that words have staying power. The Bible teaches us that. Jesus teaches us that. And not only do our words have staying power, but they also have consequences. Now, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 36, he says, and I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that you speak. Let me say that again. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word that you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. He's not talking about the words in that moment that you're going to stand before God and you're going to be able to justify your words, or you're going to be able to smoothly talk your way either in or out of hell or heaven. What he's saying is the words that you've spoken while on this planet, the words that you have spoken into existence, will be held accountable. You will be held accountable to those words. In fact, he even says that those words, the words that you speak right now, will either acquit you or condemn you. Now, and in context, Jesus right here is actually speaking to the revelation of our heart. In fact, if you go back just a few verses in Matthew chapter 12 and you look at verse 34, Jesus is saying that this is a heart issue, that the power engine of our mouth is our heart, that the articulation of the words that we write or the words that we say or the words that we speak out into existence, it originates and comes from our heart. If you want to take a look at somebody's heart, read what they wrote. If you want to see the internal working of somebody's heart, listen to what they say. And the reality for us is that Jesus is saying here in verse 34, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I know this is challenging for us, but I think it's an incredible reminder that we certainly need to recognize the power of our words in these moments, especially this moment. Now, we're going to pause here again, and we're going to move to the talk it out portion of our talk sheet. And within the talk sheet, you're going to see an opportunity to discuss the scriptures that we just mentioned. This is a great opportunity for you to dialogue and discuss the measuring of our words. And what is it that we need to consider about our words and how we use them in our daily lives? Again, if you want to continue in the message, just wait 5 seconds and the message will automatically go back to play. As we begin to conclude our message this morning, I want us to consider kind of an imagine if statement. Imagine if we could create safe places where healing conversations can take place. I mean, imagine what that would look like. What would it look like to create a space or a place that was defined by words of patience, where closed hearts are open, where past hurts are healed, where trust is built. It's a place where we can earnestly seek understanding and where we have the opportunity to unite with God to help heal brokenness and mistrust. Imagine if we were a people that chose the middle way, that didn't make it about right or wrong, about power or weakness, about good or evil, but truly learned that everyone has something that they can teach us. Finding this middle ground, as Jesus said, is a real mark of spiritual maturity. And I pray that as we go through this series, this healing conversation series, that it isn't just something that we hear and don't put into practice, but how can you practice healing conversations starting right now? Where is it that you can lean into conversations with people around you? And you know, one of the things that we would be able to say is, you know, even if we disagree with somebody, you gave me a lot to think about, and I appreciate you sharing with me. I'm telling you, if we look at the way Jesus taught us about the measurement of our words, if we realize that the power station of our words comes from our heart, then we realize that this is a heart issue. We tend to do a lot of talking. It's what I do for a living, and I can talk. I do a lot of talking. But what are we actually saying? And are the things that we're saying valuable? Do they bring healing? Or are they just hurtful? I want to challenge you this week to begin that process of leaning in and finding that middle way and participating in healing conversations. Words are the most powerful building block of all human interaction, and we need to choose them wisely. Let's pray together. gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as somebody who speaks words into existence a lot, Lord, I pray for the measurement of my words. I pray, Lord, that I too would not say this from an ivory tower, but would in all humility recognize the times in my own life when I have spoke things into existence that I can't take back. Lord, I pray for each of us as we're taking in and ingesting this content. Lord, I pray that you would begin working in our hearts and recognizing that what is in our heart is what comes out of our mouth. So Lord, I pray that maybe this week we begin the process of pausing before we write a post on social media, that we pause before we speak words that we'll never be able to take back, that we look at the possibility of the good of another and to recognize that everyone has something that they can teach us. Lord, ultimately, you are our teacher, you are our guide, but you have placed us in relationship and in community. And it's in that relationship and in that community, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. So Jesus, I pray, and I know that this is difficult, Lord, but give us strength this week to begin through this process. Take us through this series. Lord, strategically, I pray that we recognize that the weeks ahead of us can be really hard, and that even the weeks at the beginning of November after the election can be even harder. So Lord, help us to learn now. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, as we conclude our time together, I would encourage you to receive this benediction, this blessing over your week. And may God of peace and comfort be the one to fill our hearts with joy and goodness, so that when we're squeezed or when we speak, we're speaking out of the goodness in our heart. Would you just open your hands and receive this blessing? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent. Go and have a wonderful week, and we'll see you back here next week.